Good morning. Oh, it's so great to be back here. Yeah, I've been in ministry, like you said, for 25 years, but I was at this church longer. In the 90s, maybe 93, I came out to this church looking for a place to be a home for me while at university. It might have been earlier, 91, 92, it could have been. I can't even remember that now. I ended up staying and living in the basement of Phil and Lorna Johnston's house, and that was a great place. They didn't live in the house they do now. They lived in a very small home. They were starting out, their kids were like one, and they were having kids while I was there. So it was a different time of life for them at that time. But I'm going to start back a little bit earlier. This year is actually kind of a milestone year for me in many ways. Yes, 25 years in ministry. I also turned 50 this year. I know because I hurt myself more. I broke my ankle just jumping off the back of the tailgate of a truck. So that was like 7 weeks, 8 weeks ago. But it wasn't too bad. See, I'm standing on it. I'm walking on it. So thankful for that. So, but also, it's 40 years since I became a believer. 40 years. Became a Christian when I was 10. So I'm going to start by sharing with you a little bit about my childhood, where I come from, and then we'll move towards the scripture. I grew up my first 5 years were really in a small logging village on Vancouver Island called Wass Lake. Anyone been there? Yes. Okay, nice. Beautiful spot. You want to camp somewhere. Beautiful spot. Wass Lake. And, we were pretty much free to do whatever we wanted as little kids. We roamed. And most of the memories I have from that time are me disobeying my mom or dad. I was not listening. And then, though, when I was five, my parents divorced. And I went, myself and my two brothers, to Campbell River, not too far away, and began living life there, away from my dad. And at first, you'd think I would be quite upset, but I was not upset because I was mad at my dad. He was the guy who was supposed to, well, he was kind of the one who disciplined you. And I was mad because I was rightfully in trouble sometimes. And so I thought, yes, freedom! I'm five, and I'm thinking that. That's kind of how my attitude was. But within the year, my mom had married another guy who was an alcoholic, who was much sterner. The first time I met him, I was introduced. He had just washed his van, and I'm trying to make, how little kids are, trying to be giggly with him. And he says, "Don't touch the van." And I pretend to touch the van, and he smacked me in the face, and from that point on, I hated him. I was just, me and him were going to be like this from that point on. And there was times when it just came out in the household, yelling and arguing. Fights, arguments between my mom and my stepdad that were things I hadn't heard before, And so I started to feel very miserable as a little kid growing up there in Campbell River. In fact, my mom ended up moving us out of the house a couple times during this period of time, between the time I was 5 and 10, so that he'd have to make some changes. And he did. He went to Alcoholics Anonymous. He started getting help, and ended up quitting drinking. Started smoking. Then had to quit smoking and started eating. You know how it is. People have to fight an addiction. It's not an easy road. But during that period of time, there was a neighbor, kitty corner to us, who was a pastor of the Baptist church in town. Some of you know Craig Kraft, so his dad was the pastor. Craig Kraft was the same age as my older brother. They became friends and started going to the church in town, and I tagged along for some of it. I met a kid near my dad was not just an alcoholic, he was also a workaholic, my stepdad. And so he owned a couple buildings. His task, he wanted to get financial independence. So he worked hard. But that means we worked hard. So we would be brought out. We would cut the grass. We would we learn things. We learned a lot of things. I learned how to paint. I learned how to fix electrical. I learned how to take care of things, the yard. And we were given chores, which when I didn't do, his wrath would come down. And so, but there's just, I just could not respect him, even though I learned a lot from him. But as I was going to this church, and as I was going through this tumultuous time as a kid, I recognized life was broken. There was something really wrong with life. I didn't see the brokenness in me that was there, that was really there. But I was feeling the pain of my circumstances. I knew that, you know, there should be the mom and dad should stay together, right? I knew that there should be a loving home. At school, I was small for my age, and I got picked on a lot. And so I knew that was wrong. There was just all these things coming down on me, and really, it's almost like God was forcing me towards him in that sense. Going to this kids' club called Brigade, I got a Bible, and we also had this big children's Bible in the house, and I remember alone in my room, I think it was 1982, for those of you who can think back that far, but think back when you were 10 if you can't, and I was reading through this children's Bible, and I'd also received a Gideon's Bible in my class, and I knew that Jesus, just the picture of how Jesus was coming through this Bible, he was the one I needed. I saw his goodness. I saw his love and his faithfulness. I saw, that compassion, that he would be there. And I flipped through the Gideon Bible. You know how they have different guides in the Gideon Bible, those of you who know. And I was looking at scriptures. And I went to the back, and there's this prayer to receive Christ. And I remember getting down and praying to receive Jesus. And immediately, joy filling my heart. I was 10, so that's 40 years ago, but still, that changed me. That moment changed my life. It's changed it since. It's directed me and guided me. I knew God was right there. It was obvious. I knew he was with me. I knew I would be different. The next day when I woke up, I knew he was there. His presence was in my life. And I remember going to school and facing those I saw as bullies and so on. And I didn't, you know, I looked down as just guys to stay away from, people to stay away from. I was starting out my walk without any instruction, without much guidance, without somebody really there in my life guiding me. But the church was there. And so I remember, though, just feeling like, I know God's there, but he's my secret. I'm not going to talk about it with these people. I don't want to be put down. I don't want to be made fun of. I don't want, this to be an issue. I'm just going to keep to myself. I was very private, a very shy kid. And so I kept it that way. I was more, I'm going to read books. I'm going to keep to myself. But through church and youth group, I'm exposed to more kids, more outgoing kids. I believed that I was going to be good at wrestling when I went to high school. I started wrestling, and I just was focused at beating those kids in wrestling, getting some of that energy out. And I met some kids in my grade who wanted to be friends with me. I'm like, what? You want to be friends with me? And so I started to come out of my shell a little bit during high school. I got into a leader's Bible study in my youth group through high school and started to grow in my faith. And I would read scripture. I loved to read the Bible. I was encouraged by the Bible. But I was also wary of the Bible. There were passages in there. There were things that God seemed to want me to do that I didn't want to do, such as sharing about him with other people, such as forgiving people who had hurt me. I was convicted that I had to forgive and love my stepdad. And so I said, okay, God, I'll do that. Lord, I forgive my stepdad. And I'd open my eyes and go, no, I don't. I cannot forgive. This is not easy. It's not easy to do that. I had to recognize that, no, God's love for me was enough. And this, the people who are mistreated me or were, they didn't know, a lot of them didn't know, kids didn't know anything, right? And he doesn't know the Lord. He doesn't know God's love. So, and often, sometimes he's motivated, people are motivated by different reasons for why they want to, that why they do something to you or for you. And as adults doing it for kids, as kids, you just think they're being mean, but maybe they're actually trying to build something into you. And that was often the case too with my stepdad. And so God gradually grew that in me, and I started to grow as a Christian. Now, of course, imperfectly. I was a brat sometimes too, as my brothers can attest and as others can attest. But my heart was God's. My heart was God's. Later on, I graduated from high school, and, well, I'm not going to go into it, but I suffered from some issues with perfectionism. So I often did not do my schoolwork. I did not do well in high school, except for grade 8 and grade 12. No, grade 2 and grade 12 are my best years. Sorry, not grade 8. Grade 8 was not good. After grade 8, I went to summer school. Yeah, grade 2 and grade 12. And then I decided, you know what? I can do this. I became more confident. I did my work, and I went to university. I went to Simon Fraser University. I got a scholarship through wrestling. And I was excited about going there. I was excited, but also immature in many ways. And while I was there, as Peter already said, I was introduced to a Christian group on campus called Athletes in Action. And interestingly, a friend of mine from my high school, who had graduated the year before and went to SFU, he told me about this group, this Christian group called Athletes in Action. And I thought, yeah, okay, I'm going to look it up. Even though he was not a Christian, he wasn't involved, he said, oh, you would like this group. And because I'd heard that, I was looking for them, and it took them a while before they got around and did a presentation at my wrestling club. And it's like, finally, you're here. I've been waiting for you guys. And so I got involved. And they introduced me to something called the Four Spiritual Laws, which was simply a presentation on sharing the gospel, what the gospel was. And even though I knew I was a Christian, I was like, what is the gospel? I kind of had that thought. And they also introduced something called how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That our life, the Christian life, the ordinary Christian life, is walking in the presence of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so this was a new idea, because growing up in a Baptist church, you don't hear much talk about the Holy Spirit. And I'd read it in Scripture, and I thought, well, I think it kind of goes this way. And when they introduced this booklet, I thought, maybe it's too formulaic for me. Sometimes we think it that way. Oh, it's too formulaic. It's, you know, the Holy Spirit's not like that. God doesn't act like that. But God has given us His Word, His Scripture. And His words don't change, and they speak truth. I've got a little kid here who's going to do a somersault off the chair. Okay. So, I was introduced to this concept. And it didn't become real to me at that time, at that moment, but it shortly did. Being involved with Athletes in Action gave me opportunity to be challenged. And I was challenged by the leaders to take steps of faith, to trust God in ways I'd never trusted Him before, to share my faith with my teammates, to offer a Bible study or a secret study to them, to go on missions trips. In 1991, I went on a missions trip to Ukraine, to Lviv, Ukraine, where it had just seceded from the Soviet Union, and we could go into these universities. We went into this university that was a sports university, and I went up, and I shared my testimony. Now, I told you I was shy, and that God broke through those things, and I had these times when I was up there speaking to somebody. Don't know if you've had that opportunity yet, but if you get that opportunity, if you're asked to do it, do it. Do it. Trust God and take those opportunities. He can shape you and form you. Even if you're not, don't like being up front. I still don't like to be the center of attention or up front. Yet, if God is calling me to do it, okay, God, I know this is what you want me to do. I'll take that step and do it. So I shared my testimony in the Ukraine, Lviv, on that trip. But I often would have plans the way that I want it to go, that maybe God doesn't want it to go that way. And this is a recurring theme in my life. And it also includes ministry. I wanted to go to Ukraine, and I was going to share my faith with Russian or Ukrainian wrestlers and see them come to faith in Christ. That seems like a noble thing, right? That's what I wanted to see happen. That's what I wanted to do. And we prayed, and we went there. I couldn't even meet them. The only time that finally I got to go to their wrestling practice, and they were, very few showed up because they were hungover from a birthday party the night before. And so I was getting dejected at my efforts at ministry. God, don't you want to share your love with these people? Of course he does. Of course he does. And he did put some people in my life, but I did not recognize the opportunity that was before me to share into this person because he wasn't the person I wanted to share my life into with. There was this young man that I did not understand, but he had been exposed to radiation from Chernobyl. And he was talking about how his strength was being sapped, how he was withering away, and I'm like, oh, you look like a, you know, fine young man. And I was useless at helping that guy. Useless. If I could go back and change anything, right? And we were down to like our second to last day there. We're at a training facility, and all of our team was there, and I was complaining to a guy named Greg Veers. He was a football player from SFU. I knew him quite well. Complaining about how things weren't going the way I wanted to go, he just looked at me and said, "Why don't you go share with that girl over there in the stands?" I'm like, "Aren't you listening to me? I'm talking about wrestlers and everything." And then it's like he threw down the gauntlet on my, you know, right at my feet, and like, if you want to share your faith, go share. So I walked up to the stands. This girl who's not an athlete in the stands, and her friend had become a Christian earlier that week, and she was running around the track training. And she doesn't speak much English, this girl. I said, "Oh, hi, I'm Mike. How are you? What's your name?" "Yeah, we're going to leave soon," and so on. And she pointed to her friend and says, "I want what she has." So, okay. So I have what's called the four spiritual laws, which these 4 points, you know, which are: God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. We don't experience his plan for our life because we're sinful and separated from God and can't experience that. Thirdly, though, God has given Jesus to be the provision for our sin and enable us to know God. And have eternal life. And the last one would be you need to receive Christ. So I had that in both Ukrainian and English. So I spoke it in English, and she followed in Ukrainian. And I said, "Would you like to receive Jesus?" She said, "Yes." And I thought, "Oh, you don't understand." So I go to the front, and I start again. I'm sure that didn't hurt, but but I didn't believe it, because I didn't feel anything. And so I do it again, and she wants to pray to receive Christ. I say, "Okay, let's repeat this prayer after me." She prays to receive Christ. And she was happy. I didn't feel anything. I don't know what's going on. So I can't talk with her much, so I say bye, and I go down, and she prayed to receive Christ. And that was a big lesson for me in my life, that God is at work in people. You can't see it, but you have to be available. Are you ready? Anyone could have done that. Anybody in this room could have done what I did, walk through a booklet with her. No, you don't need special training. Anybody could have done it. It's similar to the fellow from this year in my life. I shared earlier that a fellow from Iran prayed to receive Christ with me. We had prayed for them, for the people from Iran. The next day, if someone shows up and he wants to know God, all you had to do was, when I sat down with him later, was just share that with him. But someone becoming a Christian and growing in Christ, it takes more than that. They need to be introduced to a community of believers and grow in their faith, to understand what it means to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and follow Jesus. And that's what today's topic's about. And so I share that, but I have one more story from my life I got to share before I get into walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Another instance where my plans, again, didn't seem to line up with God's plans was when I really did feel called by God to go to East Asia. This is 1997, so this is 25 years. My start of my life on staff with 1997, and I went missionary to East Asia for 9 years. And I was excited about going over there. But again, I was making up all these ideas of how God was going to use me and all the things that were going to happen. And the first experience was great. At first, when I went over, I was just there for a short-term missions trip and decided, God, I believe you're calling me to come back. I want to come back. I want to do more. And he allowed that to happen. In a short period of time, over this summer, all the support I needed was raised. I went over. I began as a teacher in the university there, and I was meeting students. Our team, what we went over with earlier, had shared their faith with a number of students. So I had all these students to follow up and meet with and talk with. But the day before I left, I got a phone call. And the phone call was from the team leader there, and he said, "Mike, we'd like you to lead the team." I'd never led a group of staff before, but I was going to lead what were called the stinters, short-termers like myself, those who committed for like a year, not those who committed longer. But there were 9 of us. I'd never led a team, and we're in another country where you're not permitted to share your faith publicly. And I say, "Yes, I'll do it." I'm feeling very positive about this. But in my mind, I had created this idea of what my ministry was going to look like. But leading a team was not like that. I had to look after my team. I had to help them do ministry, and I was not on the same page with God on that. And like, why isn't ministry? I remember halfway through the year, I was pacing in my room, and I just feel like I wasn't hearing from God. And I'm basically shouting in my head, "God, where are you? Where are you?" And it's like he said in my head, "I'm right here." And it brought me to my knees, then I'm going like, "I'm sorry. I have not." It's like, where am I? I've not been faithful. I had to reorient my heart around God. What are you doing, God? What is your work? How do I follow you in this situation? I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes we can have a very spiritual seeming purpose, but not be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to do it ourselves. We're going to go in there. I can make a big mess by rushing in and trying to do it. And then we wonder, where's God's power at? Why isn't this happening? Often he can do work in spite of us. But that was typically what was happening. And so I think many people in this room know very well what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to walk with the Holy Spirit. Because I know many of you. and not just knowing is one thing, but doing is another. I knew that. I knew the principles of walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, but I wasn't practicing it. It's harder to practice it something than to know something. And so as you know something, it's great to be reminded of. I love standing up here hearing the new members affirming what they believe, and us standing and affirming that, because it's reminding us what are the truths of walking with God, what we believe in, those firm foundations, those rocks we stand on that God has given us, that is about our relationship. I share with you that I came to Christ 40 years ago and how that made a difference in my life. And if it's so important to remember that moment when you've come to Christ. And some people, feels more gradual, especially if you've grown up in a Christian home. But remember those truths about God, that he's good, he's kind, he is powerful enough to look after you and all your needs. He loves you completely. Because when you believe these things about God and remember that, you can push away the voices in your head that makes you want to doubt and fear and not trust him into that step that he wants you to take. Because he's always wanted to take us into a step where we haven't been before and we're not comfortable. And that makes us wonder, oh, but this is going to happen, or people will think this, or we start to think like that and says, well, are you trusting in those people? Are you trusting in how those people are going to respond? Or are you trusting in God who's asking you to do this? And really, I should be saying, it's like God saying to you, are you trusting in me? Don't you remember how good I am? And if we forget that, we lose sight of it. So I do have a slide, just so we can follow along here. There we go. Are you full of the Holy Spirit? Ephesians 4, 22 to 24, prior to Ephesians 5, says this: you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. That is, to recognize that the way you're going is not where God wants you to go. To recognize that you can't live the life that God wants, that you want on your own. You need God. And you need to crucify it, give it to the Lord, confess your sin, repent, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. So we orient our minds now on who God is, who Jesus is. We trust what he has to say in Scripture. What has been written down for us has been to remind us of who God is, what he's like, that we put all of our confidence and faith in him. And to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And that's to completely receive and believe what he has done for us. And to take steps of faith. That step of faith means to believe God. We can say it, God, I forgive my stepdad, but I know it's not true. We have to take steps of faith. We actually have to, what can I do to show love to somebody? Give them a gift. Have a conversation. This is essentially the Holy Spirit-filled life. This is what it is, the principle that I show you are basically repeating this. Okay, the next slide tells us, is what we read today. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Let's stop there for a minute. Paul is showing us we have a choice. Being filled with the Spirit is a choice. When we become a Christian, the Spirit comes into our life, but I can disobey God. I can go my own way. When I do that, and I wonder why I don't see the power of God in my life, it's because I persist in living in disobedience to God. This could say something else. It doesn't have to say, do not get drunk on wine. It could say any number of things. But the whole idea of being full of wine, full of something, is that you're full of something that prevents you from being full of the Holy Spirit. What are you going to fill yourself up with today? Because out of that fullness is what you do. Right? There was a result of being full of wine. It leads to the actions. And the result of being full of the Holy Spirit leads to other actions. And here's an example of those, which he says, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 5 is the fruit of the Spirit. And this is the same as in John 15, where Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches, remain in me and I will remain in you. Without me you can do nothing. And the point of the branch was to bear fruit. Remain in me and you will bear much fruit. In Galatians 5, with the fruit of the Spirit, we have the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. And that's what should be coming out of us as we are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what we want. That's the kind of life we want. So there's four simple steps to take, to think about if you find yourself going, hey, wait a minute, I'm not walking with God right now. And so the first step is reaffirm God as your first love. Get with him and say, no, God, I want to please you first of all. You're the one who saves me. You're where life is at. I want your presence in my life, because that's what the Holy Spirit is. He is God's presence in our life. Maybe you remember in Exodus, Moses, the people had come out of Egypt to Mount Sinai and completely rebelled against God, and God said to Moses, I cannot go with you, or I might destroy you on the way. You go up to the land that I'll give you, but I can't go with you. And all the people mourned. They took off their ornaments to show contrition. And Moses met before God and said, God, what else will distinguish us from all the other peoples except for your presence with us? It was the fall in Eden where God's presence was withdrawn. We were put out of God's presence because of sin. The whole work of Jesus is to bring us back into his presence. And the taste, the seal of that is the Holy Spirit in our life. We don't want to live in rebellion to the Holy Spirit. We want to live in partnership, in love, and in walking with what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. It's what we're made for. We're made for being in God's presence. That's where we want to be. Heaven is not a place where God is in. Heaven exists because God is there. God is all, and heaven is being with him. It's being with God. Jesus said in John 17, right? He says that he came to give eternal life to those who believed. And eternal life was this, knowing the true God and Jesus Christ, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So eternal life starts with us knowing God. It starts now. We have eternal life now. We die believing in Christ. There's no question we're in God's presence because we're in his presence. We've been accepted to him now. So walk. That's the ordinary Christian life. Walking in the presence of God, in obedience to him. So set apart God as your first love. So that's the first thing. Have a sincere desire to please him is the first step in being filled with the Spirit. Secondly, be willing to surrender your life, each area of your life. There's some areas of our life I want to hold on to. Oh, I don't know if I can trust God with this, or I really like this, and I don't want to give it up. And sometimes people think, oh, if I try to trust God, it means I have to give up all these things. I've got to live like a monk. I've got to wear funny clothing, I don't know, whatever. Or I have to go to some country. No. We're trusting him with everything. Our life is short. We don't know when it's going to end or what's going to happen. He knows. He's completely good. Remind yourself of who God is. There's no one who loves you more than God does. He has the best for you. And that's what you want. You want to be where he is. The problem is we have all kinds of voices that will tell us no, 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 no. And so you've got to stop and deal with that. Okay, all right, I'm saying no to God for this. Why? What does the Bible have to say to that? What does God have to say about that, that I should trust him with that? Third step is ask God to show you any sin. Okay, God, this is my sin. Confess it. And this is also where faith comes in. We have to believe in God's forgiveness, because one of the reasons we don't also walk with God is because we don't think we're lovable enough for God. I've done this, so God can't, I don't know. Maybe I should just give up being a Christian. I can't walk with God. People think that way. They think, I've confessed my sins, and then just think that a minute later I'm feeling guilt for the thing I just confessed. When Jesus died already, he died once for all my sins, a long time ago, and he forgives every one of them. All it says in John 1:9 to do is to confess our sins, right? John 1:9 is God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. So if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So confess him, and you have to believe what he says. If we don't, that's the challenge, is actually receiving what he says is true about us, over what the world says, over what our own voices want to tell us, over what Satan says, over what we say. And that's point four. Believe in what Jesus has done for you and receive it with gratitude and faith. So then give thanks. Thank you, God, that you filled me with your Holy Spirit. He has. God's not somewhere out there to find. We love our search engines. We love to search. I'm pretty sure Jesus would not use one. I don't think he was searching for anything except the lost, and he found them everywhere he went. He wasn't searching. We might have good reason to use one, but we use them as if we're searching for God all the time. We use it like, what am I missing? And it's like, well, you're probably just the one you're with right now. But also, I think sometimes we don't experience all that God has for us when we keep it to ourselves. One of those things that I recognized and realized when I was a kid is I thought, I like that Simon and Garfunkel song, I'm a Rock, I'm an Island. I like that song. I like, yeah, I don't need anybody. But that's wrong. God has actually given us. It's not good for man and me alone. It's not just about, yes, it's about husband and wife, but it's about community. We're meant to be in community with others, and we need godly people in community to be around to remind us of Scripture, how they speak it, that we're filled up with that. That's how we grow. And if we don't, we become navel gazers. We become all about our own problems. And we don't, you're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, gifts of the Holy Spirit coming up that Sandeep is going through. And those are given. We had a discussion on the phone, and I'll just affirm what he has to say about it. They're given for the church, to build up the church, that people would be built up. They're not built to give me confidence that God is with me. They're given so I can build into other people, and that other people can be built up, that we together are experiencing the life of God. God is pouring out through you the Holy Spirit into other people. And so when you pray, if you pray, oh God, one great thing is just to pray, to affirm your faith by praying, Father, thank you. Thank you, you forgive me of every sin. Thank you that you are living in me. I want you to direct me. Give me ears to hear. Let me walk with you and follow you. Remind me of your scriptures by the Holy Spirit that I've been reading. And give me strength and courage and faith to obey. And as we become God's hands and feet and mouth, as we open ourselves to that, without this, we won't also see that fruit of the Holy Spirit that I mentioned in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And in the middle of 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, God says, or Paul speaking, says, I'll show you the most excellent way. And looks at the attribute of love. That the thing that pours out of us, that the Holy Spirit makes possible, that's more important than anything else, is the character and life of God being lived into other people's lives. So, thank you for having me today. I pray this will, Lord, just remind you and help you stay connected to the Lord today as you walk with him. May you be blessed today and bless others. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, thank you for this congregation, New Life Community Church in Burnaby. Thank you for how they blessed me, how they sent me many years ago, how they continue to support me and my family, my wife and kids. Thank you that you pour out your love, and that you look upon with great love this whole congregation, this church, and everyone in it. You're so pleased with them. May they experience that daily. May they be reminded and remind each other of your love, of your presence. Your presence is here. You don't go anywhere. And may we stay close to you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.